Eov, chapter 40. Hello, my name is Professor Smadar Rosenzweig. Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today, we will be studying Sefer Eov, Perek Mem, chapter 40. To recap, in chapter 39, God describes the intricate biodiversity of the world. God relates the wonders of the lion, the raven, goats and gazelles, wild donkeys, the ox, birds, horses, hawks, and eagles. The descriptions are very detailed and show the rough and untamed aspects of nature. This cataloging is very different than the ordered creation in Genesis in Bereshit. Here, life is messy. The life of the animals is a message about the life of humans, and only God knows the mysteries of human life and the animal kingdom and the universe. Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who many of us call the Rav, explained that the religious experience is not smooth. Religious life is not a smooth sail on a calm sea. It can be clamorous and tormented. To live a religious life is to live a life full of spiritual challenges and to experience difficulties. These experiences profoundly shape us and lead us to a closer relationship with God and to a new understanding of the world. This is a similar message to the book of Eov, where Eov goes through many tragedies and his life is very difficult. Does that mean that he's going to be alienated and leave God? Is he going to lose his faith in God? Or is this part of the process that every faithful person goes through? There are difficulties, there are questions, there are troubles, there's sickness, there's tragedy. And yet, somehow, this all brings us closer to God because this is part of the religious process that we all go through. That's what it means to be a religious person in this world. Chapter 40, our chapter, begins with the words, Vaya'an Hashem et Iyov Vayomar. And God said in reply to Eov, Harov im Shaddai Yisor Mochiach Eloka Ya'anena? Shall one who should be disciplined complain against God? He who arraigns God must respond. Rashi explains that Hashem is saying to Eov, because it starts, Vayan Hashem et Eov. And Hashem replies to Eov. Rashi explains, are you making yourself like a master? Harov im Shaddai, he's explaining the words rov, like a rov, like a master. Are you making yourself like a master that you can argue with God? Let's see how you answer God, new Eov. Before, you acted like you had a lot to say if you confronted God. Now, what do you have to say? Rashi is saying that when God is speaking, and he's continuing in his descriptions of the world to Eov, he's stopping for a moment and saying, okay, so, do you have anything to answer me? You asked me before that you wanted to confront me, and you acted very strong and very sure of yourself. So, now, what do you have to say? Ramban, Nachmanides, explicates this verse in a different direction. Ramban explains, it states again the words Vaya'an Hashem, and God responded. Even though this is a continuation of the same speech that God was giving before. So why do we have the words Vaya'an Hashem in the middle of this speech? Nachmanides explains, because Eov remained silent after this speech, God is awaiting Eov's reply. So since originally God appeared in a tempest, a whirlwind, a storm, which might have intimidated Eov, now God is speaking in a less intimidating manner, so as not to frighten Eov. Because God wants to make Eov comfortable and give him a chance to take it all in and respond. So we see two opposite definitions. Rashi is saying that God is saying, Eov, no, what do you have to say? You know, you were complaining that you couldn't confront me the whole book. Now I'm here. So what's your response? I've already spoken for a chapter. Ramban says, no, this interpolation here is Hashem's way of, let's say, lowering the decibels by saying, Vayan Hashem et Eov. So, nu Eov, what do you have to say about what I said? In a more welcoming voice. Let's continue. So what does Eov respond? And Eov responds, Vaya'an Eov et Hashem vayomar. And Eov says in reply to God, Hen kaloti ma shivecha, yadi samti lemofi. I am of small worth. What can I answer you? I clap my hand over my mouth. Achat dibarti velo e'ene, ushtayim velo osif. I have spoken once and will not reply. Remember, the whole book, Eov is responding and saying his piece. Twice, and I will do no more, and I will not add anything else. So the simple explanation is that Eov has nothing to answer. God is saying how great he is. Eov realizes how small he is. And there's nothing to answer to God. God, you are great. And in comparison, I am nothing. I said my piece, and I have nothing more to say. Now, Metsudat David gives an interesting interpretation here. He explains that the words, I spoke once and twice, but will speak no more, means that Eov is saying this. And we saw the whole time that Metsudat David and Malbim have a very interesting take, and Ralbag, philosophically, on what's going on in Sefer Eov. One of the complaints that we saw that Metsudat David says that Eov is saying to God is that God's not ruling the world completely. The constellations and their other powers that rule the world very strongly. So Metsudat David says here that Eov is saying, my first thought that the constellations rule the world and it's not God who's ruling the world entirely, I totally retract. Which means, God, you're showing me your power with creation and with the constellations and with the animals shows that you are in total control. That I admit. So I admit that my thought that the constellations rule the world was wrong, and I retract it. However, my two questions about why the righteous suffer and the wicked prosper, those two questions were not answered yet, right? So that's why the words, achat dibarti, I spoke once, but I won't speak twice. So Metsudat David takes it to mean, oh, I got an answer to one question, but not to two. Even though you have not answered my questions of why the righteous suffer and the wicked prosper, I still will not say anything. That's why I put my hand to my mouth, because I have fear of heaven. I have Yirat Shamayim. And I don't want leharher acharecha. I do not want to falter in my fear and worship of you. So Mitzudat David says, I still have my two questions. Why the righteous suffer and the wicked prosper? I still want to know the answers to that. But I'm not going to bring them up again because I do fear you. And I don't want to ruin my fear of God. And Eov only says these two verses. So God continues to answer him. According to the Ramban, Nachmanides, God continues his description of nature because even though Eov implies that God is righteous, he did not admit yet that his complaint is wrong. So more explanations are necessary to elicit the proper response. So Ramban wants to say that God is waiting for Eov to respond. And this is not a good response, just saying, I have nothing to say. I'm closing my mouth and I'm putting my hand to my mouth. That's not what God is looking for. God is looking for a better and fuller response from Eov. And therefore, God continues in his descriptions. Vayomer, right? Again, Hashem is responding. So Eov responded for two verses. So it's very fascinating here. We have God responding, then Eov responding, then God responding again. And each one, and these two interludes were just for two or three verses. So again, Vayan Hashem et Eov mina se'ara vayomar. So again, Hashem is replying out of the tempest, which means he tried, again, according to Shitat HaRamban, Nachmanides, he tried to speak sweetly and caringly, but Eov does not respond in the proper way. So now he's again continuing this speech from the tempest. And he says, Ezorna chegever chalatzecha, eshalcha vahodieni, ha'af tafer mishpati, tarshieni lema'an tizdak, v'im zroa ka'el lach, uvekol kamohu tar'em. So God is telling Eov, again, out of the tempest. Gird your loins like a man. I will ask you, and you will inform me. Are you questioning my justice? Are you condemning God so that you will seem that you are right? Do you have an arm like God? Can you call the thunder with a voice like mine? Can you do all the things that I can do? I can make monsters and behemoth and leviathans. Can you create these creatures in all their intricacy? The next part of this chapter describes the great earth animal, monster, the behemoth, and the great sea creature, the leviathan, the leviathan. These descriptions and chapters play a huge role in many agadic discussions of the meal the righteous will have in the world to come, consisting of the great Leviathan. Also in general literature, many ascribe the slaying of the dragons, Hobbes' book The Leviathan, Moby Dick, and many more. The message God wants to give here is very clear. On the one hand, all of creation was for man. He is the epitome of creation, formed on the sixth day. Bishvili nivra ha'olam, the world was created for me. Every day, the rabbinic saying goes, we should have two slips of paper in our pockets. One slip says, the world was created for me, I'm the center of the universe. And in the other pocket, we have a slip of paper that says, I am dust and ashes, va'anochi afar va'efer. I'm nothing. How do we balance this dialectical tension between being the center of the universe and being nothing? Eov, who was so successful, so smart, and so amazing, then goes through this tragedy and says about himself that he's sitting on dust and ashes and he is nothing. So how are we in comparison to God? Are we the epitome of creation, as we see in Bereshit and we saw when we did Tehillim? Or are we just dust and ashes, nothing compared to God? When God is telling about all these different things that he can do, he wants to enlarge the chasm between man and God. There is no answer to the dilemma of the righteous suffering and the wicked prospering. God doesn't say the reason why this happened to Eov. He doesn't answer him the question about righteous people suffering and wicked people prospering. That's not what these chapters are about. The message here is fear of God. A person of true faith will not base his behavior on the goal of receiving reward. Real fear of God is based on man acknowledging his humility and acquiescence before God. God is so awesome and controls everything in the universe and the heavens, earth and all of nature. Who are we to question? That's really what the message in the last chapters of Eov is. We have all these questions, but God is so great and created the world. Can we argue with him? Are we going to know all these answers? Until these last chapters in Eov, the humans were doing all the talking and speculating about God. Now God comes and tells them, you do not know what you were talking about because you do not understand the world. You do not know everything about the world like I do. In our next chapter, we will continue this line of argument and see that God's answer continues these descriptions. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.